We will come back to Luke chapter 17 if you want to keep your finger there, but I want to start today in Philippians chapter 4. So if you're good at finding things, go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4, and if it's hard to find things, you can just listen and that'll be fine. But I'd like, if possible, I'd like you to see these things right from Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. I've enjoyed the series that we've had here, and we're continuing today on how to pray. We're basing it on R.A. Torrey's famous book, How to Pray. And some of you have that book and you're reading it at home, and we're up to chapter 8 today. The other thing I like about that, there's a lot of things I like about that book, but one thing I like is that the chapters are like 2 pages long. It's like, yes, a short chapter. It makes it easy to read. But today we want to focus on this concept, praying with thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving. You know, two words are often overlooked in the verses that I'm going to read to you now in Philippians chapter 4. And those are the words, with thanksgiving. Look down to Philippians 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, we like verse 6, but sometimes we neglect those words, with thanksgiving. We say, oh yeah, I've got to lift my request to God. I've got to let God know the things that are on my heart. Yes, you do. But don't forget, with thanksgiving. We offer prayers for new things. We say, Lord, please do this for those new things, but we forget the old things He's already done. And sometimes we're not grateful and thankful as we ought to be. We should be just as definite in returning thanks as we are in asking for our request. Boy, when we need something, oh, Lord, I've got to have it. Please, Lord, you've got to supply the need. I've got to pay the electric bill. We can't live in Florida without air conditioning, right? I need you, Lord. You've got to come through. And we pray so definitely. Lord, the bill's due in 3 days. I need $80 or I need $400 in 3 days for this air conditioning bill. Lord, please come through. And we pray definitely, and we should. But then we should be just as definite in giving thanks when God meets the need, when God supplies, when the air conditioning, the electric is not turned off. We ought to be saying, Lord, thank you that you supplied that need. Lord, you came through. I don't know how it happened, but you came through. Sometimes we'll pray and pray for weeks and months for a job, and then the Lord gives us a job. Well, then we ought to thank Him for weeks and weeks and months. See, we ought to be just as thankful as we are in asking. We ought to be just as definite in returning thanks as in asking. Now, are we too general in giving thanks? Sometimes we pray and we say, now, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Now, that's not wrong, okay? We should be thankful for all He's done. But why not get specific? Why not thank Him for some specific things? You know, you've gotten thank you notes from people before, and sometimes they'll say, thanks for all you've done. And you feel glad that they wrote you a thank you note, and you feel appreciated, and it feels nice, right? You guys, wake up, nod at me. Does that feel good? Okay. But don't you feel better when they say, thanks for all you've done? Man, you stood out there in the hot weather and cooked those hot dogs, or whatever, and they start getting specific. Well, then it's like, wow, you really feel appreciated. They noticed what I did. I believe the same thing with God. We ought to be specific in our giving of thanks and not so indefinite about it. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm a thankful person. I'm just thankful in my heart. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Thankfulness must be expressed. Thankfulness must be expressed. It's not gratefulness or thankfulness until we express it. To say, well, you know, I have a grateful heart, that doesn't work. Okay, it's got to be expressed, both to people, but then today we're talking about prayer, it needs to be expressed to God. Thankfulness must be expressed to be thankfulness. Otherwise, it's not. Now, what's this have to do with prayer? Think about this. If God continued to answer prayers for someone who was ungrateful, he would be encouraging them in their ungratefulness, wouldn't he? You probably noticed that with your kids at home. You know, you do something for the kids. If they don't say thank you, you don't want to do more for them. Matter of fact, you might even take the thing back you just gave them and say, what do you say? How many of your parents, what do you say?
Thank you.
Okay, well, you say it again in 15 minutes from now and show me you remembered it. You know, trying to teach them to be grateful. The Lord, if he kept answering our prayers when we were not thankful and grateful and expressing it, he would just be confirming our ungratefulness. So thankfulness becomes a key to seeing your prayers answered. And that's why it says here in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be full of care about nothing. In other words, don't be worried about things. Instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So don't worry about everything, but instead use prayer. I believe that word prayer is a special word that has to do with adoring God for how great he is. And then supplication, that's praying for others. And then thanksgiving, that's what we're talking about today. God, thank you for such and such. Thank you for this. Thank you for doing that for me. Thankfulness. With all those things, let your requests be made known unto God. So yes, you should ask God for things. You should come to him with the burdens and desires of your heart. But don't leave out with thanksgiving. Don't leave out, thank you, God, for these other things. All right, now let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Appreciated Tim volunteering to read the scripture today. And did a good job for his age. I appreciated that. Okay, Luke chapter 17. And that verse 11 through 19 is the famous parable of the 10 lepers. I'm sorry, not a parable. A true story, a true account of the 10 lepers. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases. It would eat away the extremities so that someone who had leprosy for a while would lose their fingers. Sometimes earlobes, whole ears would be gone and missing. Sometimes their nose would waste away and be missing. Not a good thing to talk about before lunch. Okay, it was a gruesome disease. But you know, in the Bible, leprosy pictures sin. And just like we would think, if someone had leprosy and was in those advanced stages, we'd think, oh, that is disgusting. That's the way we ought to look at sin in our own lives. We ought to say, Lord, this is terrible. Sometimes we like our sin. Sometimes we think, well, it's not that bad. You know, everybody else is doing it. It's no big deal. No, sin is wicked. Sin is terrible. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. So these lepers, they find out that Jesus is around, and they know that he can heal people. And so they come to him and they say, have mercy on us. Okay, would you heal us? Verse 13, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself unto the priest. Well, that's kind of a weird thing to say. But you see, in those days, there were laws about leprosy. It was very contagious. And so these lepers, they weren't allowed to be around other people. They had to go live by themselves. If there were enough of them together, they'd call it a leper colony. And they'd all be living together with their leprosy. And they couldn't go see their family, couldn't talk to them, couldn't do anything. Well, the Bible in the Old Testament provided that if by some miracle they were somehow cured of this leprosy, to make sure they were cured before they could go back in with their families, they had to go show themselves to the priest. And the priest was given some specific rules by God, especially in the book of Leviticus, that tells them how to know whether the leprosy was really cured or not. And if it was really cured, then they would be proclaimed clean by the priest, and then they could go back and live with their families again. So here these lepers come to Jesus, and they've got all this leprosy on them, and they know they're messed up, and they say, Jesus, have mercy on us. He doesn't say, okay, I'm healing you. And then, we're healed. No, he says, go show yourself to the priest. And probably they thought, what do you mean, go show myself to the priest? Wait a minute, I still got this leprosy on me. If I go to the priest, he's just going to say, get out of here, you still got leprosy. Jesus was testing their faith. You see, the same way that we're saved from our sin, these lepers would be saved from their leprosy by faith. They had to exercise faith in what Jesus told them. They had to believe what Jesus said and that he would heal them. And so these lepers, with their leprosy, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. All right, here we go. And I believe that as they made their way across town to go see the priest, that they were healed. And they're walking, they're like, look, my fingers are coming back. George, look at this. Steve, look. I'm getting my... You should see your face, man. It's coming back to normal. Just as ugly as before. No. It's coming back to normal. This is incredible. We're being healed. This is great. Let's go. Let's get to the... And they probably broke into a run getting to the priest. But there was one of these 10 lepers who, when he realized he was healed, he just stopped dead in his tracks. He said, I can't believe it. I'm healed. And he went back, before he showed himself to the priest and he went back to his family, he went back to Jesus and he said, well, let's look at it. He thanks him. Verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And then the Bible adds a little comment here. He was a Samaritan. This was kind of like, as Jesus told, as this took place, this was kind of a little jab because the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half Jewish and half something else. God had told the Jews not to intermarry, but some of them did. And so the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And they looked down on them. They thought the Samaritans were like the scum of the earth. But Jesus points out here, and everybody notices, the guy who comes back is a Samaritan. Amazing. The ones who should have been grateful, the Jewish ones, they didn't even come back. But the Samaritan, he came back. And it shows that any of us can be thankful, not just someone who thinks they're spiritual. All of us ought to be thankful. And the Samaritan came back. But he fell at the feet of Jesus. Wouldn't you do that too? Nowadays, you know, we don't have much leprosy anymore, but we have a lot of times the dreaded disease is cancer, right? And if you were healed of cancer, wouldn't you just go around telling everybody and praising Jesus? Hey, you know, the doctor said there was no hope. They said I might as well not even try chemo because it's just going to kill me and there's no hope. And then all of a sudden, I went back to the doctor, I was healed. You'd be telling everybody. One of you, I was in your house and you told me about something miraculous that happened in your life and a miraculous healing that took place. And you couldn't wait to tell me about it. That's the way this leper was. He said, I'm going to go tell Jesus, thank you. And everybody needs to know about it. And so this leper returns to give thanks. Look down at verse 17. Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? And where are the other 9? Can you hear the wonderment and pain in the voice of Jesus as he says, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Now, folks, we have all kinds of things for which we ought to be coming down and falling at the feet of Jesus and telling him thank you. Some of you could say, Lord, thank you for my wife or my husband. Lord, thank you for my kids. Some of you could say, thank you for giving us a godly Christian home. Some of you could say, thank you for keeping my kids off drugs. Some of you could say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a job. But you know what? As I look around the room here, I know the testimony of just about everybody. And probably just about everybody here could say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. How many of you know that song, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Okay, let's sing it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. For making me whole. Remember I told you leprosy was a picture of sin. And when the Lord saved you, he made you whole. He made you free from that sin. Oh, you still might mess up sometimes and do it, but you don't have to anymore. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're set free from your sin. You're also free from the penalty of sin. You're not going to end up in hell. You're free from the power of sin. You're not a slave to it anymore. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're not going to burn in that place called hell. We ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And no matter what trials you're going through, you say, I don't have anything to be thankful for. You still got your salvation. And that's the most tremendous thing you can ever have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you have the outline in your bulletin, let me just go through a couple things with you, and I'll move pretty quickly today. Number one, the benefits of giving thanks in prayer. The benefits of giving thanks in prayer. You know, why should we give thanks? Are there some benefits to it? Letter A, praying with thanksgiving increases our power in prayer. If you'll pray with thanksgiving, it'll increase your power in prayer. You know, some people, they pray and nothing happens. Other people, they pray, and as the saying goes, stuff happens, okay? Things happen when certain people pray. I know a couple people that if I have a serious request, I get on the phone and I call them because for some reason, when they pray, things happen. They've got power in prayer. How do you get power in prayer? You'll find a lot of things in the Bible that talk about that, but one of the ways is by giving thanks. Because when you pray with thanksgiving, it gives you power in prayer. That's what Philippians 4 said. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then God's peace comes on you, and you know He's going to answer. The peace of God that passes all understanding. How do you know God's going to answer? Yeah, it passes all understanding. But He gives us that peace, and then He can answer our prayers. And there's great power that comes with thanksgiving. You know, one of the great stories in the Old Testament is when the Israelites went forth to battle, but God told them to do something different in this particular battle. He said, put the choir, the singers, in the front as you go into the battle. What? The singers? Yeah, and have them sing as they go into battle. Put them in the front, Lord? They don't have any weapons. They're going to get... Just put the singers in the front and go into the battle. And the Bible says that as the choir went first into the battle, that the Lord destroyed the enemy. And the soldiers didn't even have to fight. You see, there's great power when we praise and thank our God. There's great power in giving thanks. And part of our prayer time, as we study how to pray, part of our prayer time needs to be time set aside to just tell God thank you for some things. We sing that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And some people say, yeah, I can name one, and then I'm stuck. You know, sometimes it takes time. It takes time to dwell on it, to think about it. And then you start to realize how good God has been to us. It's easy to see the problems. It's easy to see and go to God and pray and say, Lord, I'm having this problem, I'm having that problem. But it's a little bit harder to be thankful. But if we'll take time and do what the Bible says about praying with thanksgiving, I believe we'll see an increase in our power in prayer. Letter B, praying with thanksgiving also increases our faith in prayer. It increases our faith in prayer. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Neeler, I've prayed for some things and I haven't seen them happen yet. Okay, first of all, the key word is yet. Okay, you keep praying for that thing until God tells you not to pray for it anymore or until He accomplishes it. But watch, you say, I've been praying for this, but I don't see it happening, and I just give up. I just don't have the faith to pray like I need to. Well, here's one way to get more faith. Start giving thanks. Because as you start thanking God for all the things He's done, then you realize, wow, He has been at work. He has answered my prayers. I just forgot about some of those things. Years ago, I started doing something. I got me a little spiral notebook, just a real small one, and I wrote on the front, I call it my blessings book. And when God does something special, I'll write the date, and I'll write down what God did in my blessings book. And if the devil comes along and he starts getting me discouraged or tempted to think, well, the Lord's not really answering my prayers, I'll just open up that blessings book and start reading through, and yeah, God, you do it. And your faith is strengthened. And you start giving thanks for those things. You know, when we give thanks, it helps us to realize all that God does do for us. It'll help us to see how powerful He is, and it'll bolster our faith. I don't have it on your outline sheet, but I want to say one more thing. Praying with thanksgiving also increases our peace. Our peace. And this came from that opening verse we read. The peace of God, when you pray this way, with thanksgiving, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. When you read your Bible and you notice that word peace, try to notice if it says peace of God or peace with God. There's a big difference between those two. When the Bible talks about peace with God, it's usually talking about our salvation. We've got to make our peace with God. We've got to be saved. We've got to have Him forgive our sins and make it so we're on our way to heaven. We've got to have peace with God. But you can be saved and have peace with God and still be in turmoil in your mind and not know the peace of God. The peace of God comes by prayer. Peace with God through salvation. Peace of God through prayer. Pouring out your heart to God, and especially with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And then that peace will float over your soul. A couple examples now of giving thanks in prayer. You know, it's pretty interesting. Mighty men of prayer are always mighty men of giving thanks. If you want to become a prayer warrior for God, if you want to be one of those people that people call up and because you see prayers answered, if you say, Pastor Neeler, I've got so many requests that are so serious, I've got to have my prayers answered. Well, become a man of thanksgiving. Become a woman of thanksgiving. Because mighty men of prayer in the Bible were often men of thanksgiving. Let's look at David. You think of David, a mighty man in prayer. You read some of those psalms that he wrote, and most of those are prayers to God. But you know, many of the psalms are full of thanksgiving. David was a mighty man of prayer because he was mighty in thanksgiving. Let me read a couple to you. Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to Thee forever. Psalm 75, 1. Unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks. For that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And I've skipped quite a few. Over and over again in the Psalms, David says, Lord, I'm giving you thanks. And that's why he became a mighty man in prayer. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. You're in chapter 17, just go a few pages back, Luke chapter 24. You know, as I read that one verse on thanks just a minute ago, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. I'm not saying those people are heathen, but I was thinking we were singing praises to his name, and maybe it was loud enough that they heard. I can hear their microphone out there. Maybe they can hear mine out there. And what a testimony that is for God as we sing praises unto his name. All right, Luke chapter 24. Here I want you to see the apostles. This chapter is the chapter when Jesus ascends up into heaven. And turn to the very end of the chapter, the very end of the book of Luke, and we come down to verse number... Oh, I'm sorry, I went too far. No, I didn't. Okay, verse number 53. It says, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Who was it? It was the apostles. Let's look up at verse 50. It says, he led them out as far as Bethany, Jesus did, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Okay, notice, after they saw Jesus ascend up into heaven, they saw, wow, this is great. He's our Lord. He's alive again, and now he's in heaven praying for us. He said when he went up, he would send the Holy Spirit, and they were rejoicing and thanking and praising God. You know, we need to praise him, and the example of the apostles shows that. Now, watch what happened. You know these 12 apostles? We sometimes think of them as, you know, great Christians. They were the apostles, you know. Well, you know what? They were a bunch of fishermen. The Bible says they were uneducated. Many of them were kind of backwards and shy. Now, not Peter. He was the opposite. He always was too outgoing. You know, he put his foot in his mouth all the time. But here are these fishermen that were uneducated, and people didn't really look up to them very much. Because they were continually blessing and praising God, God filled them with His power. And it's not many days later, about 50 days later, that these apostles are going around preaching the good news of Jesus, and they've got boldness, and the people can't believe it. They say, aren't these like Galilean fishermen? And here, they're unlearned. The Bible even says they were ignorant. These guys are ignorant, and here they're getting up here and preaching like they know what they're doing. Yeah, God had filled them with power. And on that one day that Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. Later on, we always talk about that one, but later on, 5,000 were saved. It's amazing how God used them because He filled them with power. And one of the reasons He filled them with power was because they were continually praising God. They learned what it meant to give thanks. Let's look in the same chapter and go back to verse 30. Because here's one more example of someone who gave thanks. Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Anybody know who the He is in verse 30? Just say it out loud. Who is it? Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And here He's with the disciples. This is after He rose from the dead. He's with a couple of His disciples, a couple of His followers, and He's breaking the bread here, getting ready to eat. And in verse 31, it says, their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? We call this the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus. They were walking down the road, traveling the road, and Jesus came alongside. He had just risen from the dead, and His followers were confused. They didn't know what was going on. And Jesus started walking alongside these men. And the Bible tells us earlier in the chapter that their eyes were held, that they didn't recognize Him. Okay, it was a miracle that Jesus did, and they just didn't recognize Him. Well, they're walking along the road, and this stranger starts telling them all about how the Messiah was going to come, and He was going to die on the cross, and then He'd rise again the third day. And they're amazed that this guy knows so much of the Scripture and can tell them so much about the Messiah and about Jesus. And they're just amazed at it. But they don't recognize that it's Him. Well, they get to the end of their journey where it's getting late, and they say, hey, why don't you stay with us? And Jesus says, no, I'm going to keep going. And they say, no, really, we want you to stay with us. Because, as they said later, their heart was burning within them. They knew there was something special about this guy, but they didn't know who he was. And so they go into the inn, and they get ready to eat, and Jesus sits down, and he breaks the bread, and when He breaks the bread, they remember. You see, because a few days before that, before He died, He met with them in the upper room, and He broke the bread, and He passed out the juice, and He gave thanks to God. Apparently, the manner in which He broke the bread and gave thanks was so recognizable that when these disciples saw Him break the bread again and give thanks, they said, He's doing that. That's just like Jesus always gave thanks. It is Jesus. And then they realized it was Him. And then the Bible says He vanished from their sight. But now they knew He really was risen again. But here's the interesting point about Thanksgiving. They had seen Jesus break the bread and give thanks often. I mean, they had eaten with Him so many times. They spent 3 years with Him. And that's how they recognized Him, by the giving of thanks. I wonder if that would be how the Lord would know you. Oh, here comes Pastor Kneeler again. He's one that always gives thanks. Okay, here comes Ken again to pray. He's one that always gives thanks. I wonder if we would be recognized as ones who give thanks. You see the example of Jesus. He gave thanks. Now look, if the Lord Jesus had to give thanks and He was God, if He had to thank God the Father and He's God the Son, then we definitely need to give thanks as well. Let's turn to one more passage as we close today. Ephesians chapter 5. One more important point about giving thanks. I love Ephesians chapter 5. It starts out with some negative things, and then it transitions into some wonderful and positive things. And then when you come down to verse number 18, it gives us a specific command for all of us who are saved. It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You see, God wants us as Christians to be filled with His Spirit. Now, we're indwelled with the Spirit if we're saved. The Bible says that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So you're not even saved if you don't have the Spirit. But when you get saved, God's Spirit indwells you. And yet, here these Ephesian Christians who are already indwelled with the Spirit are told to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, they have the Holy Spirit, but He's not filling their lives. He's not in control of their lives. One preacher said it this way: you've got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get if you're saved. The question is, does He have all of you? You've got all of Him, but does He have all of you? Okay, and that's what the Bible means when it says be filled with the Spirit. Let His Spirit overflow your life. And when that happens, certain things are going to take place in your life. Look at verse 19. You'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice, when we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to start singing godly music, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice there is such a thing as a spiritual song. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. So if there's a spiritual song, guess what? There's also a fleshly song. And today it's a sad thing, but many churches are trying to take fleshly music and put it with good words and say it's praise to God. I don't think God's pleased. Okay, there's a spiritual song and there's a fleshly song. And now, people like that kind of music because it appeals to the flesh. So, you know, it's nice. It gets me going, man. Yeah, it appeals to the flesh. But godly music appeals to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And we're supposed to speak to ourselves with that kind of music. That's what happens when somebody's filled with the Spirit. They will have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They'll be making melody in their heart to the Lord. It'll be a wonderful thing. But look what else happens. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I used to read that verse and think, Lord, that's impossible. I can't give thanks for all things. I mean, here, this bad thing just happened in my life. I'm supposed to give thanks for this bad thing? That's what it says. Giving thanks for all things. I woke up with a headache this morning. Lord, am I supposed to give thanks for a headache? Giving thanks for all things. I came to the George Mullen today, and I had to park a mile away. As soon as I pulled up, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be terrible. Where's everybody going to park? Oh, man. And then I started getting a little bit upset. I thought, man, people will come 7:30 in the morning, it's raining out, and they'll come for football, and nobody will come to church. I mean, what's with that, you know? And I started getting all kind of disgruntled about that. I thought, wait a minute. In everything, give thanks. You're going to preach on it, preacher. You better practice what you preach. And so I said, Lord, thank you that so many people are around here, and they're going to find out about our church. They're going to see there is such a thing as a Bethel Baptist Church. They'll see our signs. Someone will come in the building and wander in and see what... And I started thanking God. In everything, give thanks. That's an impossible verse. It's too hard to give thanks in everything unless God's Holy Spirit takes control of my life. Because He can give thanks in everything, right? So when we're filled with the Spirit, one of the results is the giving of thanks. If you want to know, am I filled with the Spirit? Does God's Spirit have control of my life? Look at verse 19. Do you have the right kind of music? But look at verse 20. Do you give thanks? Are you the kind of person that gives thanks? Because when we're filled with God's Spirit, we'll be able to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." And then at the end it says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If I had a raise of hands, how many of you want to do God's will for your life? Probably everybody would raise their hand. I want to do God's will. Well, here's a verse that says, this is the will of God for you in everything to give thanks. Lord, I don't understand why I lost this job, but I'm going to thank you for it. Lord, I don't understand why my kid is acting kind of rebellious right now, but I'm going to give you thanks for it. Lord, I don't understand why my husband or wife came down with this sickness or disease, but I'm just going to give you thanks for it because you said to. Now listen, the fact that thanks is commanded shows me that thankfulness is not a feeling. It's a choice of our will. Because God never commands our feelings. So we say, well, I don't feel very thankful right now. That's okay. Give thanks anyway, because God commanded it. See, God never commands our feelings. He always commands our will. And so if He says, in everything give thanks, then I know thankfulness is not a feeling. Thankfulness is an action. And I can choose to do the right thing even when I don't feel like it. Now, here's what happens. When we obey God and we do the thing that He wants us to do, I think our feelings will follow. And eventually we'll start feeling thankful. But we've got to have enough faith to just obey Him. So He says, well, am I being a hypocrite if I tell God thanks when I don't really feel thankful? Aren't I being a hypocrite? No, you're being obedient. The hypocrites in the Bible were hypocrites because of what they said, not so much because of what they did. They said, well, we love God, but then they did the other. Okay? Do the right thing even when you don't feel like it. And God will bless you for it. And so in this matter of thanksgiving, you might say, Lord, I don't feel thankful. Just tell Him, God, I don't feel thankful right now, but You said to give thanks. And so right now, best I know how, I'm thanking You for it. And I'm going to trust You. It's going to work out fine. I'm going to give thanks in this situation in my life. Now, folks, would you decide to make thanksgiving an important part of your prayer? You know, if we took percentages, you know, what percentage of your prayer time is thanksgiving? Let's take time to give God thanks for some things. Maybe make yourself a little list. Maybe count your blessings. Name them one by one. Maybe see how many things you can thank God for as you have prayer time this week. And if we do, I really believe we'll see God give us His power. I think we'll see God give us more faith. And I know from the Bible that He'll give us His peace if we'll decide to pray with thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.